On today's episode of Back the Bird, we sit down with Connor Robinson of the Colorado Mammoth. It's actually his second time being on the show, so a repeat guest. Really thankful for Connor to give us his time. A little bit of a different interview with Connor. We go less chronologically today, kind of pick his brain on some big moments in his career and some stuff about off the floor as well. Also chat about some NLL trades and a big weekend in the standings for a lot of teams here. So let's get into it. This is episode 104 of Back of the Bird.
Take your first ride and run, baby, run. If you want a sign, this is it. You're mad, your magic, you're as hot as a gun. You want to play with fire, consider this. You'll chase the thrill if it's worth the hit, cause you never ever want to work for it. Take your first ride and run, baby, run. You got a spine of steel and a roar of thunder.
All right, we're back. Last week was the episode Chirp Donnie and Forget His Number week, 103. We are now on 104. Who's your number four, Polly?
We can't keep going through all this. We're just going to keep recycling numbers. No more numbers, 104.
Okay, number 104, fuck it. Brought to you by Cottage Springs.
Polly putting his foot down.
What?
I said, Polly putting his foot down.
He's like, dude, I'm not doing this. I'm done. Yeah. But as always, brought to you by Cottage Springs. Get out there. Get your springsies. Pick them up. Try out the new stuff. Get the summer packs, winter packs, every pack. I saw something. They're sneak peeking a little, like, look like a pink colored bottle of vodka. Pink Whitney could be in trouble. So we're directly following in their footsteps. But let's dive into it. Polly, what's going on with you, buddy?
Nothing, bro. What's been going on this week? Nothing. Just like, yeah, man, just again, like with travel, just weeks are short. Well, I guess Buff was home Saturday night, but yeah, just grind away, getting ready for this week, fly out tomorrow. So yeah, not much, man. Just, you know, daddy daycare during the week, little shift on Wednesday and just grinding. Oh, Mac won't wear pants anymore. Like just nothing, just free balls it for 24 hours a day. It's fantastic. So we can't leave the house now because he just freaks out if he's got to put clothes on. So it's just, we're just at home chilling, man, every day. And he's just free balling, jumping all over me. His wrench is on my nose and my eyeball. Just,
so things are good. But
I send you guys that pic. That's every day. And like I didn't mean to send you the wrench pick, but like that's
that sound weird. You sent it.
Yeah. What time was that at? Because I
it was in the morning. It was like 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it was 10 a.m. and I went into work a bit late today. I was on the streetcar. I'm just like opening a picture of a kid with his wrench out. I'm like, oh my God.
You know what I mean? I meant to just send that. Like I just had two kids all over me and then that one just snuck in there. Obviously, just like I text, I just take pictures and send it without looking or checking it over. So that's my bad. My bad.
That's all right. That's okay. Donnie, what's going on with you? Similar lifestyle for you in Oakville right now?
Pretty much. Also, I'm not a big pants guy. Life good with me. Obviously we don't like to comment too much on like standings and lacrosse around the league, but it is a really weird season so far and a really big weekend for a lot of teams. I think there's seven teams that are either 1-2 or 1-3, including Panther City. So, you know, this is going to be a big weekend for a lot of teams. So just trying to find our groove and trying to play better myself. And, you know, I think everyone's kind of trying to go through the same thing. And I think everyone's been complaining about these bye weekends. And at least it seems like on a league level, we get rid of them here for the next little while. And there's just a lot of games coming up. So, excited. We are in New York this weekend. My brother's going to come. Always nice playing in front of family, especially playing in the formerly known as the Western Conference. So, I'm fired up.
Love it. That's awesome, man. I've been wearing pants.
That's too bad.
That means last year, man. Yeah. I'm behind the trend, but yeah, same old here. We were on bye too, but just kind of chilled out this weekend. It was nice. And then practice on Tuesday. Like these again, like Paulie said, these weeks just go by so fast when you like, especially I find kind of going away from the midweek practice for a while, now coming back to it, like it just makes it go by so much quicker because it's like you're with the boys Tuesday, you know, a few days of work, and then you're back doing something else, traveling on the weekend. But yeah, I don't know. Not a whole else. I'm an ice bath guy now. I picked up an ice bath for the patio. I don't know if I talked about that last week.
Yeah, you're talking about like the morning ice, the ice plunge, right? Not, are you talking about like post workout?
I've been doing it in the morning.
Okay.
Morning and evening. And I actually did one before a workout tonight, like a while, like a little bit before. It felt pretty good, actually. Apparently that was Patty Marlowe's Fountain of Youth. You would take an ice bath every period, in every intermission.
Yeah, that is mental. They would get fully undressed.
And then like you're fucking freezing, man. Like you're freezing for a while.
You don't feel anything that hurts, I guess.
Yeah, maybe that's the idea. But I also felt
he was super injured, just couldn't feel anything though.
Yeah, caught up with him. Realized he had two broken legs after 14 years of ice bathing. But yeah, I mean, this week we've got Connor Robinson jumping on with us for part two. This one's fun. It's we're kind of like, you know, peeling back a little bit of layers here, trying to, you know, tell you guys just different stories about these players in the league and what makes them tick, maybe beyond just the story of growing up playing. And I think it's kind of a fun little thing, a little change up for you guys listening. But enjoyable. It was a fun chat. Time flew by, I felt like, when we were having a conversation. But around the league, we've had a few trades. Say that again.
Also helps he's just a huge beauty.
Yeah, he's an all-timer. High Point raises beauties. That's all we do. My dad and his dad got along so well too. Whenever they'd be together, it was just a debacle. But we had a few trades this week. Donnie, you want to kind of walk us through those?
Sure. Yeah. So first one that I have up here. So this is actually not on the NLL transactions list yet, and according to the Warriors Twitter, is still pending NLL approval. So I don't know why it would ever not be approved, but just want to throw it out there. It's not up on the site yet, but the Vancouver Warriors have acquired a 26th third round pick and forward Brad McCulley from the Bandits in exchange for a 24 second round pick and a 26 second round pick. So that just happened today. So Brad McCulley, who I believe is a Victoria boy, heading home to play for Vancouver. And then just some other stuff going through the transactions list. I saw Justin Inacio was activated to active for Calgary. So I believe that if he does get in, that'll be his first game. So congrats to him, someone I grew up playing with. And then a couple more trades here. So the Colorado Mammoth have traded Brett McIntyre to the Calgary Roughnecks in exchange for Thomas Vella. And then also... also Mac O'Keefe was signed and placed on the active roster in San Diego. He actually coaches at Gettysburg College. So I think was kind of trying to navigate the coaching while playing thing. So, you know,
clearly, where is that, Virginia?
It's in Pennsylvania, but I think the closest airport would be like Philly or Baltimore.
Gotcha.
I believe it's in like Southern Pennsylvania somewhere. So anyways, seems like he's found a way to make it work. So congrats to him. And then the other trade that I had was the Nighthawks traded for Doug Buchan. I'm trying to find it here. I believe it was a third round pick that went back. And they also traded for Kevin Orleman. I'm not sure if you mentioned that on last podcast. And just want to say quick, you know, Rylan Hartley got hurt in the game. I didn't see it. Seemed like it was, you know, maybe not the best situation in the world. So, guy, all three of us have now played with, you know, just sending our best to him and thinking of him and hoping for a quick recovery. I just want to say that real quick while we're on the subject.
Another all timer. Another one of my favorite teammates.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt.
Man. he's feeling good. Like, he's feeling better.
Good.
I'll send you guys this video after, maybe. But all-time video he put in our group chat, just like walking us through like almost like 30 seconds in his life up in Orangeville. And there's a tractor. He's talking in the most Canadian accent ever. And like the camera just pans and there's just a fucking, he's got a pet pig. And its name is Annie. And it was fucking just an all-time video. But yeah, I think he's doing better.
He ever show you the video when he was working on the cow farm?
No. Oh, yes. Yes. Yes.
I've seen, going into detail, but
I have seen said video. Yes. an all-timer. There's also one I think I saw that was like a rookie party when they from Orangeville, and they were at someone's cow farm. There was a cow involved. I don't know. A little too much detail, but anyways, back to bring this all full circle. A lot of trades around the league. A lot of different things going on. A lot of games kind of starting to heat up here, and now we're getting into the chunk of the season where like kind of you'll start to see standings start to shape up in the next month or so here. So. Anything outside of that before we send it over to Krob?
No, I'm good, man. Buckle up. Now we're getting the meat and potatoes of the season.
Yep. Beautiful. Well, as always, brought to you by Lucky Penny Media. At Lucky Penny Media, we're a full-service marketing company without hefty agency pricing. We understand your brand is everything to you, and when working together, it means everything to us. You're more than just a client. You're a partner and a teammate. Our philosophy is simple. You grow, I grow, we grow. Hit him up, Lucky Penny, anything you need. Here he is, Connor Robinson. Beautiful. Well, we're pleased to welcome back our next guest for the second time. If you didn't listen to the first time, he spent his junior days playing with the New Westminster Salmon Bellies, where he recorded 3 100-plus point seasons, including 2017 when he put up 130. He is a graduate of the Harvard of the South, High Point University, where he put up 93 points in 57 games, including 36 goals his senior year. He was originally drafted 5th overall by the Saskatchewan Rush, and he was traded to the Colorado Mammoth, where he's quickly become a fan favorite and a clutch machine. Welcome to Back of the Bird, Connor Robinson. What's going on, buddy?
What an intro. Love being a recurring guest here. Thanks for having me on, guys.
It's an exclusive group.
It's a short list. Yeah, buddy.
Yeah. Happy to be a part of it.
Let's go. I love it, man. Well, I think the last I looked back on it, and if for people that kind of haven't listened, and I think it was like 2 or 3 years ago, maybe we had you on, but I think it was before game 3 when you guys won. So maybe we'll kind of dive into that like right from the get-go, because we kind of already walked through everything in terms of your lacrosse career and how you got started back then. But what was that like? What was it like going into that game after getting a bird bump from coming on with the boys? And how did you feel rolling into it?
I was definitely nervous. I knew the boys wouldn't let me hear the end of it if the bird bump didn't happen. But thankfully, we don't have to cross that bridge. But it was exciting. You know, first year in Colorado, coming in, not getting the opportunities a lot in SAS, and then coming into a fresh new team and being fortunate enough to make it all the way to the finals. I mean, it's right there. It's just a great way to end the story. But I mean, the story gets better. And thankfully we went out and I mean, two of our top O guys go down and we still managed to find a way to get through. And I mean, it's not hard to do when you got a guy like Wardo in the back of the net, but I mean, it was awesome to go into Buffalo, kind of battle with them. And then finally, once that final buzzer end, it didn't really hit until we went back into the room and we're like, oh shit, like we're NLL champs. So it was awesome. It was definitely exactly how you want to write your first year on a part of the new organization.
What was, what'd you get traded for? We probably went through this again, but what'd you get traded for?
First and second.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know who the first was, but I know they took Bobby Kidd with the second rounder.
Okay.
Do you know if they were in the same draft, those two picks?
I think so. It might've been a year apart, but I know I think it was the same year.
We'll get our researchers on it. But what's after, I mean, after that game, maybe actually even talk about like kind of just before leading up to it, like do you, and this kind of, it'll lead into a little bit of our conversation, just about, distribution of your goals and everything. I saw a cool tweet on that, but are you kind of thinking to yourself, like, I got to bring a bit more in this game, like with those guys out and, and kind of knowing you're playing a pretty powerful offense on the other side, what are you thinking before that game?
Yeah, I mean, it's really like, I mean, it's hard to think about, like, it's kind of one of those nightmare scenarios where it's like, oh, we lose Leeser in the semis and we come in and it's like, oh, thank God we still got Eli. And then Eli goes down in like the last second of game one. So you go back in those game two, you're like, oh shit, like what do we, but then again, like our coaches, Bish, our old coach, I mean, he does such a great job kind of getting everyone involved. And I mean, when the playoffs, I mean, playoff Zeddy is just a whole different animal. I mean, he's 6'3", 6'4", 250 pounds, and just an absolute beast. I mean, Paulie knows he's on our team this year, but I mean, when the switch flips with Zeddy, I mean, it's look out, just give him the ball and watch him do his thing. And I mean, he really took over the offense, but Bish really did a great job of getting everyone involved. And I mean, plugging those guys in, I think it was Sam Firth came in and he scored his first ever NLL goal in game three of the NLL finals. So it's a pretty surreal moment for him, but I mean, it was definitely kind of just sticking to the game plan. I mean, he does a great job of putting all the plays, all the motions in, kind of drawing up the game plan. And yeah, we were missing our one and two guys, but I mean, the plan doesn't change. We're still going to go out there, still going to execute. Like, we're not going to change anything with that. We're just going to stick to our guns. And thankfully we did. And I mean, at the end of the day, it all worked out.
Obviously, I mean, you know, always kind of weird to ask other players these questions, but you know, something you're known for is kind of outside shooting and just a great shooting stroke in general. Was there someone who like taught you growing up? Is there kind of like a real clear path to that, or just kind of how it developed, you know, throughout the career?
Yeah, I say two things. One, it was just me shooting around. I used to go to Queen's Park, I used to go shoot on the turf field, and it was always, I wonder if I can pick this corner from 10 yards. And then I take a step back 11 yards. And then the other thing is we'd always bring a goalie out, and thankfully he'd come out every once in a while, but he was absolutely terrified of the ball. So we'd have to shoot from 20, 25 yards out. And he was always chirping us about how much he was saving us. So you got to shoot as hard as you can. So eventually, I mean, the more times you shoot as hard as you can, like the more opportunities and the better accuracy you get. So it kind of just kind of worked from there.
Is there, who was the goalie?
My buddy Nick Lund Murray. Yeah, he went down and he played at District of Columbia. So, I mean, he was a heck of a goalie, but I mean, we had about 10, 15 guys. And I mean, credit to him. Like, that's why I don't want to be a goalie. That's why I don't want to play D, because I'm terrified of the ball. So that's why I play O. So, I mean, I would have done the same thing, but I mean, it worked out at the end.
No doubt. Kind of as a shooter for you, like, are you, you know, shooting kind of your, when you come to games, are you shooting like your favorite shots kind of thing? Or are you changing things up based on watching goalie scouts and things like that?
I think a little bit of both. I think 80% it's I'm successful with my shot, so I'm going to keep shooting until the goalie saves it every single time. And then occasionally I like to mix it up, but mostly stick to my own guns. I mean, that's what got me here. That's what made me successful. And I mean, if they're not going to save every single one, I'm going to keep shooting there until they do.
I like that approach. Shoot to get hot, shoot to stay hot.
Oh, yeah.
I like that line, if they're not going to save every single one.
Yeah, you got to just keep going.
Just keep going. I like that.
Exactly.
And I mean, that's kind of, I guess, to close out the finals that year, what was the celebration like? Did you get to do the parade too or no?
No, it's a sensitive subject. Here.
I got the whole story this year.
Oh, I need it.
Yeah.
So we, I think it was what, 10 of us that were down there. And you know, I was super excited to get back and play some summer ball. That we heard from our GM that there was going to be two options that was going to happen. Like the Avs won, and it was either going to be they were going to fly out the whole team and we were going to be a part of the parade, or nobody was going to be a part of the parade. So me and Liger were driving home. I think we got like 12, 14 hours into the trip, and then we get the call. It's like, hey, just the local guys are going in the parade. And we were just absolutely dead. I don't know if you've ever driven through Wyoming, but it's a place that you never want to drive through twice. So unfortunately we had to keep going and we missed it, but those snaps looked like a heck of a time. I mean, Wardo, Warren, Leeser, like they still bring it up. I know Paulie mentioned it. Like they still won't let me live it down. I don't think I'll ever live that one down. So hopefully we get another, we almost had it last year, but hopefully we get another dual city championship, because I don't think the NLL is anywhere close to getting I don't know how many people there were, 500,000 people in downtown Denver, but it looked unreal. But nice. Hungry for the next one.
Yeah, that'll add some motivation, just to get another parade. But I'm sure you had your fun leading up to that dreadful drive through Wyoming. Anyways,
yeah, no, the night was awesome. End of it was a bit of a blur, but I mean, comes with the territory. And then we came home and. Yeah, we had about a week-long celebration, and it was pretty funny. It was we lived in an apartment complex right downtown, and I didn't think anyone ever even knew, like, we were the Mammoth Players or anything, and we were just walking by with the trophies, and we got a standing ovation as we walked through the pool, which was pretty funny with the trophy, but we had awesome. Yeah, it was awesome. We had a nice little bender going.
That's good stuff.
You know what's crazy? Lomi, you know what's crazy about the celebration? Like, it was tough, like, the backstory to the celebration too is like the guys didn't get the word to like 24 hours beforehand too, right? Like that was another thing too. So like you guys were waiting. And then at some point you had to pull the trigger. So you guys pull the trigger, and then like it was almost like 24 hours before the parade. It was like, okay, guys are going.
So they were just waiting for you to leave town.
Oh, yeah. Sure. It was like, the parade was on Thursday, and they're like, if you don't hear anything by Tuesday, like it's not happening. So we're like, all right, like Tuesday morning's here. Might as well hit the road. And yeah, like Tuesday night, they're like, yeah, you got to come back. I was like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
Can't go through Wyoming again.
Understandable. I mean, speaking of going through some dreadful things here, I saw a video clip of that talked about you lost fantasy football. Walk us through what your punishment was.
Yeah. So it was first fantasy football is absolute crapshoot. I'm not the best, not saying anything.
I'll never play fantasy football again. I finished dead last this year. There's no punishment, but I'll never play again. Like,
that's it for you, right?
Not for me. Yeah. Not for me.
I started off the season hot, a nice little 2-0, and then I set a record for a nice 14 game losing streak to solidify myself as the Sacco. And then we had, I think it was two options we had. So the first one was get a meme tattoo of just anything NFL football related, or you got to run a 10K in full football gear. So I lost. The winner got to choose the route. So for those of you who know British Columbia, there's a little stretch in Port Moody with like five or six breweries. So they picked a nice, hot, sunny day. We actually had a charity golf tournament the night before. So I was pretty hungover. But we showed up there, and it was full football gear, helmets, shoulder pads, jersey, and a nice little 10K along the brewery strip. And it was, it was like 30 degrees. I was hungover. We had, the boys were kind of nice about it. They gave me a quarter break, halftime break, where I got to sit down, hang out, drink a couple beers and keep on running. But it was funny. I was getting calls for the next like week and a half about, my buddy's buddy saw you running. I was like, what the heck are you doing? But it was good. All the breweries had patios. So as soon as I was running by, everyone was cheering me on. Everyone was getting like, it was funny. It sucked, but it was a funny little punishment, and it was awesome.
Wouldn't the quarter, wouldn't the beers make it worse? If you could do it again, would you just bang it out, or the beers helped?
Well, the beers helped, I think. A little extra. Yeah, I needed some sort of liquid in my stomach. I'm surprised I didn't throw up there. I was moving pretty slow by the time you hit like kilometer six, but it was, I usually just use the beers just to kind of give an excuse to take a little break and get a little breather. But I was juking people out, and there was a couple of people I had no idea, and they were like, what the heck is this guy doing? I was doing spin moves, split thought. It was awesome.
I think, and that's, I mean, my favorite part about it is like, you're getting asked in this video I saw, you're getting asked like serious questions about the game. Like, how's the game going? How did it feel to get back out there? You're like, yeah, it sucked watching. And then you're like, and how was it like warming up for the game, getting a 10K in with football gear on? It was the most summer lacrosse interview I've ever seen. It's just good stuff. But well, I think before we're going to go kind of different style just for the listeners here. We've got a bunch of kind of like rapid fire questions. You know, we talked about it, and I think it is good to get, you know, a background on the player and kind of what led you to the NLL. But we want to really peel back layers in terms of kind of who you are. But before that, you know, a tweet came out the other day. Shout out Adam Levi, Adam Levy, however we want to say it. That broke down your career goals by quarter, which I thought was really cool. And it's for those that didn't see it, in the first quarter, you've got 38 career goals, in the second, 55, in the third, 61, and in the fourth, 75. And then obviously, you know, you score OT winners or whatever you need to do to get it done. What's, you know, for you, is it like, do you just feel more comfortable as the game goes, or do you find like yourself sitting on the bench being like, okay, like this is now it's time to turn it up a notch?
Yeah, I was surprised when I saw that tweet, and it was definitely cool to see. I mean, it speaks to, you know, how much I love running and how much I love conditioning. It's really staying off in that second.
It's all 10Ks in football.
It just gets better. The engine's just warming up, baby. By the fourth, you're just getting hot.
Exactly. But no, I don't know what it is, but it's something to say about our team as well. It's like we're notoriously bad in the first half, and somehow we find that spark in the second half. But it's definitely it's way better to be better in the fourth than the first, but it's definitely pretty cool to know that you're just coming out in the second half, and I don't know what it is, but for some reason those opportunities are going, and maybe I'm just figuring out the D, and maybe the goalie's saying, oh, there's no way he's going to shoot in the same spot 9 times in a row, but hey.
Joke's
finally speaks my one.
Yeah, you got him with that one. I love it. Okay, we'll move into these like kind of rapid fire ones. Start out a little bit easy. For you, what inspired you to start and continue to play lacrosse?
I think what started inspiring me is I got two older brothers. Like I was born in 96. My middle brother, Reese, he's a 93. And my oldest one, Kyle, he's a 90. So they started playing at a young age. My dad was never a lacrosse guy. He was a rugby kid. So somehow our family got involved in lacrosse just because all our friends were doing it. And I like when I started playing, I still wasn't in school, but I had my two brothers who looked like they're having so much fun playing and they were meeting all their friends. So that's what I wanted to do. And they didn't want to play with a kid who sucked, and they didn't want to play with the little brother who was kind of the anchor holding them down. So it was just one of those things where you get outside and you want to get better because you don't want to get laughed at by your older brothers, and you want to be able to get out there and kind of, I don't want to say contribute, but you want to kind of play the part and fit in. So it was one of those things where I had to go out there and work, and, you know, I had my stick in my hand for, I don't know, I think I started stopped bringing my stick to school in high school, and the teacher finally said, no, you got to start studying. But
then you started again in High Point, eh? Bringing it to every class.
Oh, always thinking about my stick.
But, I had a buddy, I had one of my best friends at Cornell, by the way. I don't know if you guys are serious, but one of my best buddies would actually bring his lacrosse stick to class.
Oh, fuck.
You take it because you like to have it in his house sometimes. So if you like had to go to class and then right to the locker room, it was just coming with him for the day.
I love it.
That's dedication right there.
Yeah.
That was one of Torpy's things always. He was like, you can tell the good players, they always carry their sticks around. It's a part of them. It's like, fuck, does that mean we have to carry it everywhere now?
But, that's why I got the little backpack holder for it.
Yeah, exactly. Did your brothers like continue to play junior or anything after?
Yeah, both of them played junior. Kyle, my oldest one, he played, what was it? He played a year at SFU, and then he went over to the Kufla Champs. Go McGill, what are they now? The Red Leafs. He ended up winning, what is it called? The Bagataway Cup.
Yeah.
Two-time defensive player of the year. So, I mean, he was always there. He's had bad knees, so. And he was a bit of a brainiac, so he thought he'd get into those books. Then my middle brother, Reese, he played all the way up till junior and then hung him up, and decided lacrosse wasn't for him. But it was both played pretty high-level lacrosse, and both are pretty good. One was D.
Yeah, go ahead.
I said, yeah, Kyle was a D guy. Reese was an O guy, shifty attackman, and then I had to be the odd one out, so I had to play midi. Make sure we had Robinson at every position.
Yeah, check every box.
Put the old man in net.
I was joking with Dylan Hutchison the other day because everyone in the PLL played NCAA except for Dane and Latrell. So technically that means Ontario Minor Field and Kufla are tied for the second highest feeder leagues into the PLL. So shout out Kuf.
There you go. What do they do now? What do your brothers do now?
Reese works, he's an HVAC guy. He works with my dad. And then Kyle, he just got his PhD in organic chemistry. So he, yeah, big brain. He took all the brains in the family.
I was going to say, they didn't leave any. Fuck.
Yeah. So he's working at U of T doing his science stuff, and then he's also coaching the U of T men's lacrosse team.
No way. Is he living in the city?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, him and his fiance. I think it's called Little Italy. They live down there. They've been living there the last three years. Yeah.
Great spot. Nothing real.
I'm going to have to get out for a beer with old Robbie Scenes.
Yeah, he'll teach you a chemistry lesson.
Yeah, I could use that.
What's he going to do with that? Or is he just? I guess he's just teaching at U of T?
No, he's doing something. Like, he tried to explain it to me, and he tried to dumb it down. He was trying to say, like, his position, it was kind of like a Dragon's Den kind of vibe, where, like, people would come in and say, like, their ideas and their science ideas, and he would say, like, yay or nay, and, like, pass it along to the next guy. I tried to read his thesis, and I read the first paragraph, and I think I understood like five words out of it, and just it was 200 pages. I put it right back down.
Wow, it was really good, man. This is great.
Yeah. I love the first sentence.
Yeah. So, next question for you: what's if there is something, you know, maybe outside of that championship? What's the most memorable lacrosse moment you've got?
I think the most memorable one was my first game that we went to play in Vancouver. We got shelled for 7 goals in the first 3 minutes. So we're down 7-0, and then we battled our way back, ended up winning 18-50. And it was just like, it was cool to come back, but it was just awesome to, I think it was like my third or fourth game on the team. And it was just kind of like seeing kind of what group of guys we had and the atmosphere and the, like how much of beauties we had on the team. Cause we were down 7-0 and like there was zero heads down, and it was all like, all right, like just wait till it's our turn. Like we're coming back, and we score that first one. And I think that all comes down to kind of Eli, and he's the guy that kind of, he's the stir that, what no, was it? The spoon.
The straw that stirs the drink. The straw. Yeah,
you be a spoon though too. You use spoons sometimes.
Yeah. But I mean, he's so contagious out there. I mean, just his positive attitude and just him getting firing everyone up, and just like he infects everyone with that. And it brings the whole team up. And it was just such a cool game and a cool memory that I think that was kind of the number two besides lifting the ship.
And then number three is winning a Southern Conference championship.
If yes, Coach Torps, that's number one.
Did you guys win one together?
On Harrison.
You guys on the same team?
Yeah, yeah, was your freshman year?
I was a freshman. Dan was a junior, and Sean Harrison put us over the top, double overtime, 9-8.
Yeah, over Rich.
You guys let
give him a piggyback ride.
You two let somebody else shoot? Or?
I know. I don't really understand how he got the ball.
He was trying to give it to Lone, but Sean just got in the way. He picked it off.
I tell you what, there's about 100% chance I was calling for it.
Yeah.
Only if you want it. So this one's kind of an interesting one, because I think it's you could kind of go a bunch of ways with it, but what do you think is like the biggest key to success to playing in the NLL, whether it's like working out on your own or whatever, or kind of preparation, whatever you think?
I think it's just confidence. I mean, everyone's there for a reason. I mean, you're fortunate enough to make the NLL and play at the highest level. I mean, obviously you got the skills, you got the talent for it, and it's just the confidence of doing it. I have my ups and downs. I'm a bit of a mental midget sometimes, but it's like all focused in and knowing like you're here for a reason. They picked you for a reason. And that was the thing I struggled with a lot. My first 2 years not playing in SAS, kind of sitting in the stands watching and been like, oh, like, do I even have it anymore? Like, am I good enough to play? And then COVID hit, and it was a kind of a blessing in disguise where I got a nice little hit the reset button and kind of focus. I'm like, oh, maybe I am good enough. And then coming in and just having those confidence and getting those confidence boosters, whether that's from yourself or from your teammates, from your coaches, whatever it is. And just knowing that like you're there for a reason, like they brought you in for a reason, and just, you got to go out there and you just got to prove that you're worth it. And like, you know, you're good enough. You just have to go out there and prove to everyone else.
I like that answer. You guys want to take one from the list?
I'm going off list, but I saw I saw Dan Arestia, a good lacrosse journalist, was tweeting the other day asking for funny conditioning test stories from college. Any maybe from you or Lomi, from any funny high point conditioning test stories?
Don't you guys have a Hell Week or something, like a Navy SEAL Hell Week? Didn't you guys do something like that?
Yeah, it was it was brutal. I mean, I showed up first day of Hell Week. No, it was the second day. We got day one, we got all our stuff, all our clothes. And then day two, we were supposed to wear a certain outfit. And obviously, I lost half my stuff night one. So I think I made up the excuse that my dryer ate it and ripped it in half. So we finished that day. I think we were doing burpees, push-ups, whatever it was, and it was brutal. But after I got the privilege, I think we had like a 25-pound medicine ball, so I got to hold that over my head for about 40 minutes and ride an assault bike at like the highest level there was with our strength coach just screaming. Oh, it was awful. It was absolutely miserable.
I honestly had kind of tuned that out of my memory that fucking week, but that week almost ended me, Pauly. I wouldn't have been here today go ahead.
No, sorry, I interrupted.
Okay.
I'm just trying to guess.
I love when you do the guessing
game. Didn't you have to do 1,000 steps? Didn't you swim? Didn't you do that? No, just go ahead. Sorry.
I think it was day one, my freshman year. We had our conditioning test, and that was fine. Then you get your stuff, whatever. It was like the Man U test. Like, you can kind of just stride that one out. And then day two, we had something like, it was like a circuit or something, and it wasn't that bad. It was just like a functional workout. But like, it was the first time like I'd really started like doing workouts early in the morning, just didn't eat anything, like nothing in the system. Like halfway through the workout, I just pass out, like full on hit the ground. Anyways, the rest of the week goes, the last day is in the pool. And you're like, they bring somebody in and like, they're like, everyone's around the pool. You're doing push-ups together. You're doing sit-ups. You're doing squats, then jumping in the pool, getting out of the pool, like things like that. And then they finished it off, and there was all of us in a circle, and you're treading water in the deep end. And there's like 40 guys, 50 guys on the team, and you're passing a cinder block in a circle. And like, so when it gets to you, you have to just use your legs to tread the water. And like, I'm not good at swimming. And so every time it would come to me, I would just fucking drop right under. But then they go, okay, you know, we had a guy that, you know, just like, he was working hard all week, like did all the right things, except, you know, just made a bad judgment call, didn't eat, like passed out. It's like, Lomas, we got this one thing. Like, if you can do this, you pass challenge week with all the guys. And they're like, I'm like, okay, fuck. Like, we're in the pool. Like, this isn't good. Like, what are they going to give me? And they're like, okay, go on the like diving board. So I'm like, I'm on like the Olympic starting diving board. And they're like, okay, if you can swim the whole length.
The springboard?
That you start on. And they're like, okay, if you can swim the whole length of the pool underwater, like you pass. I'm like, are you fucking kidding? Like, this is a regular length pool. Like, I can't even go, whatever. So I'm like over, I'm staring at it, heart's beating, like I'm buzzing. And I just go, right? And
already can't breathe while you're on the diving
board. Already can't breathe. And he said, you get 3 tries at it. So I'm like, okay, like, as long as I can just like keep challenging myself to go like a little bit further, and I'll get to the end. I go, man, and I'm like swimming. I'm like, I'm going to die. Like, I'm under the water. I'm like, oh, I got to be close. I come up after the first attempt, not even a third of the way down the pool. And then I did it 2 more times. The furthest I got was halfway through the pool. Like, okay, like, you can pass anyways. Like, sorry, we had to, like, this is in front of all my new buddies. Like, immediately we almost had a drowned victim on our hands. But there was a lot of shit that we had to go through down there that was a little bit overwhelming, but I think it made us tighter.
Oh yeah, it definitely did. I mean, it was the year after you left, and it was our winter run test. So it was just, I think it was what, 3 300s and under what, 56 seconds?
Yeah.
So we show up, I think it was what?
Even that, man, that is like, buzzing.
It's fast.
56 seconds, you're buzzing, dude.
Yeah, so it's like 25-yard increments, so you got to go there and back 6 times. So it was
harder.
Yeah, so it was a blizzard the night before. So coach sends an email out and it's like, all right, boys, like, field's like, it's full with snow. Like, we're going to do the run test in the gym. So our strength coach, Coach Crossley, we lined it up and we set it up. But little does he know that the basketball court is about 5 yards longer than 25 yards. So it's 30 yards. So we're doing like 350s. So even the guys who are like marathon runners, every single person failed. Like, no one got over the line before like 60 seconds. So we do all 3, and Coach Torpy is just pissed. Like, he is just fuming. He's shaking everything. So we ended up sprinting for another 45 minutes. And then we had to do 2.5 hours of line drills in complete silence. And if anyone says a word, we'd go back to the baseline and do more sprints. So we ended up going, I think 2 hours went by, and then finally someone passed out, had to go to the hospital. And then that's when Coach cut it down. Oh, but that was one of those things where it's like, it was so brutal that like, you're never going to forget it. But again, like Loam said, it's like one of those things where, I mean, as shitty as it is, like you're going to remember all the bad times, but you're going to remember all the guys that you went through it with. And like, those are like, even when we hang out after, like we went over to my buddy Peyton Garrett's wedding last year. And I think we spent 1.5 hours on the coast drinking beers, just laughing about just all the shitty punishments and how the awful stuff Coach Torpy put us through.
It reminds me of another one just quickly that was like, again, just such a stupid move. But we called everyone on the team to like this one place on campus, like the basketball stadium. And they're like, okay, boys, like somebody didn't finish their study hall this week. We've got a punishment run. So we all go there and like, we're all fucking like so rattled. Like who the fuck didn't do it? They wouldn't tell us who didn't do it. And like, they told us we had to run like 25 kilometers, like holding a rope above our head. And we're like, man, what's going on right now? So we start running. And then like one of our seniors just like, as we're running by the lacrosse house, just hangs a left and goes into the house. And there's just like kegs of beer everywhere and everything. And they're like, oh, like we got you guys. Like, and then one of the freshmen on our team tweets out, I love the rookie run. And Torpy sees the tweet and is like, wait, you guys are hazing? Like, we have a punishment run. Be there tomorrow at 4 a.m. So, like, the fake punishment run led to us getting a real one. And then we had to run for 2.5 hours. It was unbelievable.
How long did they keep the swimming in? Was it in every year you guys were there?
Every year I was there, I think it was a part of it.
I think they had to take it down. Like, I think it was just a couple lengths by the time I got there, because there would have been a couple casual. Like, there was a couple guys where we'd have punishment runs in the pool. And like, guys literally couldn't swim, and they would tell coach, like, hey, like, I can't swim. So they would make them like, you know, they had the dividers that are hung up. So they would have to like drag themselves like along the dividers to get through.
Oh. So ridiculous. That's awesome. I guess kind of going back to this list, and you kind of hinted at it, you know, maybe a challenge you've got, but like what throughout, you know, maybe your time at High Point and then into the NLL, like, what do you think has been the biggest challenge that you felt like you've had to overcome?
I think, again, I circle back to the confidence thing. And it's like, I think Coach Torpy at High Point, he did a great job of his philosophy is like, break you down and then build you back up in his own way. So I think he really engraved that the no quit mentality. So obviously, like, you never want to get like, you're never going to quit. You're never going to do that. But just like coming in and just getting kind of going from being the big fish in the little pond and then going back and just being the little fish in the big pond. I mean, it's just one of those things where it's kind of more starstruck. It's like, holy shit, like all these guys you've been watching. Like, I think I was watching Dobes and Curtis Dixon for years and years and years. And then finally it's been like, oh, I'm in the same league as them. And now I got to play the same position and hopefully, you know, produce the same results. So it was definitely a bit of an overwhelming feeling, but I mean, as soon as kind of you step on the floor, and I guess you guys can attest to that, like as soon as the whistle blows and you kind of get focused into the game, everything kind of just like goes out the side window and you just kind of dial it in. Cause I mean, we've been playing this game for so long. It's kind of just becomes more of a second nature thing where you just get in and play lacrosse.
It is weird though. Like when you say like, when you like, not even like look up to those guys, but watch those guys play, like, I think for the most part, everyone, like for the first couple games or even like that season, when you start playing with guys or against guys that you like watch or whatever, there's still kind of like an, oh shit. And like, kind of, what am I doing here? Like this guy, like I looked up to him, or like I try to model my game after him. Now I'm like sharing the floor with him. It's always kind of like it's kind of a weird situation. And it's like, I don't know how to act, you know?
Oh yeah. And I don't mean to make you feel old here, Paulie, but I mean, one of the memories
I got. I don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah. Well, it was you and your brother. I mean, your brother came out to, I don't know why he was on the West Coast, but he did. And he came to one of my novice camps and he was ripping around our novice practice, like just like teaching us stuff like that. And like, I was so fired up to see him. And then I was fortunate enough to go to the, I know we talked about the 09 man cup when you guys were in New West with the big bench brawl and seeing you guys all rum it up in there. And now just like looking back and just being like, oh shit, like these are the same guys I watched when I was 11 years old. Now I'm playing with them. It was pretty surreal, but I mean, it's definitely cool. And you're pioneer.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Pioneer of bench clearing brawls in the man cup. But yeah, like I think, and then that's kind of what it turns into too. Like it's weird, but then like it ends up being cool. And it's funny, like now again, like being super old, like that's what kind of like, not that you get, it's not starstruck, but like, yeah, you like, yeah, these guys like, yeah, like I used to coach them, or like Jeff T was a ball boy, Dyson Williams, like I'm playing with guys, kids who I've played with their dad. Now I'm playing with their kids. So it's kind of like, it is cool how it kind of comes full circle. And like, I think that's what it ends up being too, where you're like, you get into the league and it's like, I looked at this guy, now I'm with this guy. Now it's like full circle. Now I'm like as good as this guy, or like, you know, sharing the floor with this guy, which is kind of cool way how it all comes like about, really.
Paul, you ever think about it like the other way? Like I could play with Mac one day. Like, have you ever thought about someone, or like whoever the youngest guy is on Colorado right now could be like, you know, showing Mac the ropes?
Yeah, no, 100%. Cause like, it's kind of that way. Like, I mean, Mac's pretty young, but if, you know, if he was a little bit older, it would be the exact same. Like, you know, essentially I've seen Austin Hazen grow up since he was like 7 years old. Now he's in the league. So really, like, there's guys who have, maybe not on our team, but there are guys who have kids at that age, and then you have guys just coming fresh out of junior at 21, like 12 years in the league. That's a good career, but that's not like out of the question. So it's like they're 9-12 years later, you know, they don't go to school or whatever. It's like they're in the league. It's like it can definitely happen. So it is kind of cool, like if that did come full circle, whereas yeah, he's in the change room, then it's like, yeah, you played with my dad or whatever. Like,
that's awesome, man. What outside of lacrosse, what's, you got like a favorite team or favorite sport you're watching?
I mean, I gotta hop on the Canucks bandwagon. I mean, we're nasty this year. We went from what, going, what was it, 13 years ago? We had one game away from winning the Stanley Cup, and then just riding the city away, and then 13 years of dog shit. So yeah, you definitely got to hop back on there. But it definitely, I'd say either the Canucks or, you know, my buddies, the same guys that made me do the fantasy football punishment. They all have favorite teams. And I think 3 or 4 years ago, my classic response when they was like, oh, who's your favorite team? I was like, oh, I'm a fan of the Shield, fan of the sport. So they made me, so they made me pick a team. So unfortunately, I'm a Chargers guy now. Okay. So yeah, I got to root for hopefully Belichick, Harbaugh, somebody to come coach that dumpster fire.
Yeah.
I don't think Belichick gets back in the league. He's like 75, dude. There's no way he's coaching ever again. I just saw 25 years with the Pats. Like, I think it's like you gotta ride off into the sunset, dude.
Oh yeah. It's like you can't do better than that. I mean, what? You're winning a championship every 3 years, and then you got to go try to redo it again at how old he is. Like, just hang it up, let him build a couple statues of you, and just laugh. I saw a tweet this morning, and it was Saban and Belichick should do a podcast and just shit talk everyone they think is an idiot in the NCAA and the NFL. I think that'd be an absolute riot.
That would be a riot.
Saban's, I think all he's going to do is just swing the sticks, dude. Apparently he's just a golf fanatic. He's just going to be swinging. Yeah, apparently, like, he's just gonna be swinging the sticks. Made like whatever.
You'll be golfing with him this summer somehow.
I'll try and figure it out. I'll send him a DM or something.
Well, hey, open invite to both those guys, Belichick and Saban, if they ever want to come on Back of the Bird or just be regular on Back of the Bird.
Yeah,
open we'll chair.
Take a page out of the McAfee book there and just get a standing reservation from Bill Belichick. I'm sure he's gonna hear this.
Hey, actually, funny story. I met Bill Belichick.
Give it to me.
No, so when I was playing in Boston in the NLL, to tie it all together. So our post game bar first year in Boston was this bar called the Greatest Bar, and actually, that's what it's called. And it was like,
I know, dude, I'm just laughing at the name of it.
I know.
I mean, so it's funny. Point across. Like,
yeah.
For Spit Chicklets, Grinnelli's parents own that bar, which is like just kind of a weird like side fact. But it's like this 5-floor bar, kind of like every floor had a different vibe. So that was our post game. First couple of weeks, it's like unreal. We're kind of like walking in, blah, blah, blah. And then like the next couple of weeks, it's like busy. And like we're going up like, hey, we're the Blazers. And they're like, hey, like back of the line, like we're super busy. Like we're kind of getting pissed and tossed. So anyways, there's another bar down the road that like just opened up. It's a year old. End up going there. First weekend, it's like okay, but they're giving us free beer. Narragansett, have you ever heard of that? It's like drinking Rusty Nails essentially, but there again was a free keg every time, so the boys loved it. So they had the downstairs and upstairs. So first weekend it's like okay, but anyways, ends up like popping off. And now this guy, I became good friends with him, his name is John Caron, and it's West End Johnny's was the bar, and he opened up one in Fenway now, so it's been open for it. But anyways, long story short, he worked for the Red Sox for like years, and he's just like a Boston figure, but no one ever knew that. So Bill Belichick came to one of our games in Boston. So on the Jumbotron, along with 2,000, 3,000 other people and Bill Belichick and his wife. And then he came to West End Johnny's after. So there was like a little VIP room in the downstairs where like we were, where like it was kind of like a club. So it was like, hey, who wants to meet Bill Belichick? I'm like, dude, I got to meet this guy. Like, he's a legend. I think they won probably, this was 2009 or 10. So they probably had two Super Bowls at this point, or three. And actually, Brady, that's when he tore his ACL. So we go in, meet him, like, really nice guy. Kind of like, you know, just say, nice to meet you. And then you're kind of sitting there in awkwardness. So I was like, all right, like, I'm leaving. I'm just like, hey, do you think Brady will be back? Back anytime soon? And just like classic Bill Belichick, he's like, we'll see. Like, we're staring at each other. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna go back to drink with the boys. Hey, very nice to meet you, Mr. Belichick. I'm out of here.
I gotta get out of here. I love that West End Johnny's is a great bar.
Sick bar. Yeah, we kind of like,
you started West End Johnny's
kind of like, honestly, I like the Blazers kind of made it a thing. I'm not gonna lie. And now like it's great to see it. Like, anyways, the guy's a legend. Like, still talk to him. Actually, when my mom, again, just going off on random tangents, when my mom ran the Boston Marathon, he gave us his house. So like the whole Dawson clan just came over and just stayed at his house when my mom was running the Boston Marathon.
That's awesome.
Enough about me. Back to C Rob though.
Okay.
Somehow always got to make this about me. Why you always?
I've never met an NFL coach, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Neither.
It's where this league will take it. That's why we play in this league.
He's a big lacrosse guy. Belichick's a big lacrosse guy. His daughter, I believe his daughter's the head coach at Holy Cross, the lacrosse team. So there you go.
Fun fact, Donnie.
Yep.
From the clouds.
Research.
Okay. A few more kind of lacrosse questions. Who, I guess, teammate-wise, that you've played with is, like, your most memorable teammate, whether it's, like, they're crazy or they're funny or whatever?
I got to say, Dylan Kinnear, my boy, 55.
This guy's the best, boys. He is
the best. Is he?
The best team guy.
He is the best. I want to go ahead and see Rob's story.
No, he's awesome. I mean, you show up and just day one. I mean, I played with him a bit in the WLA. The first time I met him was in Langley. I think we played like 2 or 3 years, and I got on the Mammoth and joined him there. But I mean, just one of those guys where he's going to run through head first through any type of wall you want just to help the boys win, whether that's, you know, going in there, like setting picks on the floor, getting greasy, standing up for your teammates, then off the floor, just he's the guy's guy. I mean, you think about just the one guy like you want in your corner, whether that's out on the town or in a dark alley or alone in the wilderness. You know, the one guy you want there is 55 because he's going to be in your corner no matter what. And I love the kid. He's awesome.
I love that, Paul. You share the same opinion?
Yeah, I want to follow him around 24/7, man. He's unreal. There's just like, he just says the funniest stuff that like you don't, you know, when like a guy's not trying to be funny and he just says like the funniest things in the world, it's unreal. So like there's an ongoing like secret, not a secret list, but there's an ongoing list of like the funniest things he said. So that when I was down, when we stayed last weekend, they gave me the list and I was like, this is just on a notepad on like your iPhone. And I'm reading it and like legit, I'm just crying the whole time. He's just one of like the most interesting and like funniest dudes I've ever seen, man. I love that guy.
Yeah. If you're ever stuck in an airport, you're going to want to be with him because he'll keep you entertained for hours upon hours. He's just a treat.
Well, is he live out west too then? Or does he live in Colorado? Yeah.
He's a Calgary boy. I lived with him in Colorado last 2 years. I don't think he's living there this year. I think he's commuting like me, but yeah, I think he's living in Calgary right now.
That's why I asked. I'm pretty sure I've gone out with him before when I worked at a different company. We had an office in Calgary and we played when I was playing in New York, we played in Calgary. So we flew in the Thursday and like worked the Thursday and then ended up going out Thursday night when we had a game on Saturday and he was out with us and just doing some of the most insane things I've ever seen buzzing around at Cowboys, like having the time of his life, not shy to talk to anybody, like just making stories out of it. It was, yeah, that's funny. But
that no, he's the mayor of Calgary. He dominates whatever room he goes into.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Who's the craziest guy you've ever played with?
Craziest guy I've ever played with. That's going to be a tough one. I'm trying to
think. Did you ever play with any crazy guys out west?
I don't think so. I think we were all pretty tame. I think there wasn't guys that are kind of off the rocker. I mean, there's always a couple screws loose in every lacrosse player's head. But no one that I can think of that's just like over the top Looney Tunes.
Fair enough. What? Okay. Last lacrosse one. Who do you think in your playing career so far has been the hardest D guy to play against?
Kyle Rubish. No question. It's stupid. It's so dumb. Like there's like we always talk about it. It's like, oh, like, and you go like, don't put one hand on your stick. He's going to take the ball away. So like I'm out by the half boards, like carrying it out, like, and I'm like, oh, I'm just gonna like tuck it and like even like two hands on my stick and just, I don't know how, like he's so quick and just every single time I try to go against him, it's just balls on the ground every single time. And it's like I don't know how he does it, and he just picks it up other way, and yeah, it's very frustrating.
Yes, yeah, that's been a theme lately, talking about never going down the wall on Rubes.
No.
Well, okay, moving out of this, what? Who would be like your favorite all-time athlete?
Favorite all-time athlete?
Yeah.
Gotta go. See, I'm not a basketball guy because I don't want to say MJ.
Yeah.
You gotta go. Jameis Winston.
I could have taken 1,000 guesses. would not have gotten there.
He's been in my head a lot. Like he's been posting up on clips.
Eating W's.
His pregame speech is just, and there's like everything going on with that week 18, the little blowout QB scene, and just everyone coming out with just like the team guys. So all his videos are popping up, and I think he is just hilarious. He's one of those guys, like Paulie said, like. I don't think he's trying to be funny, but just like the way, it's just the way he is. Like he just acts and it's just, it cracks me up every single time I listen to him.
That's amazing. What would be
that was
your,
from the, that was legit from the clouds. Like yeah. Yeah. I said, I would never get that.
MJ. Oh no, I got it. Jameis Winston.
Two goats in their own right.
Yeah. What's your favorite movie?
Superbad.
That's on brand. That's a good one.
Yeah.
And then what kind of music are you listening to when you're just chilling? And then what do you listen to before the games?
I'm a bit of a softie when it comes to music. I'll really listen to anything. Classic rock, country music, a little bit of electronic. It kind of varies, but when I'm going into the game, I get way too amped up I know our coach was talking about Pat or Paulie. What is it? The
overexcitement. There's a continuum. Yeah. Athletes.
Yeah. So you don't want to get too. Oh, the stimulation curve.
That's overstimulated. Don't be overstimulated. Yeah.
So I tend to get myself a little too riled up. So I'll put on country music, something a little bit softer to kind of tame the nerves and kind of get me focused on going to the game. Nothing too hard. I'm not a big rap guy, not a big loud guy. So something soft, something subtle, something to, you know, get me into the mood.
I like get him into the mood, but don't get him overstimulated. Don't
No, you can't be overstimulated.
It's a fine line, buddy. It's a fine line.
What do you like on the snack table in the locker room? You reach for the candy or you like the healthy stuff or what do you take from the locker room?
Boys, no candy in the mammoth room.
No candy. No.
Wow.
You guys get candy?
Crop demands a trade.
asking for a trade.
That might be in my next contract. You got to get Skittles on the table.
Crop's asking us for clips. Just send this clip to him after after the podcast.
Do you hit the snack table pregame?
Yeah, I got a bit of a sensitive stomach, so I don't like to eat too much. Like I got to eat like right after shoot around, like around 12, and I usually don't eat, but I'll nibble a little bit. I'll obviously go for the beef jerky. And then we got these weird honey, it's like a honeycomb thing. I don't know what they're called. They're like, they're delicious. They're a little too delicious.
I know they're great, but they're
stinger waffles.
Yeah, waffles.
What's the real cookie called that they're made after though? Not snickerdoodles, but they're like a German cookie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like
and no one's gonna be able to get this. Yeah, like that. Yeah, but they're called something though. Okay. But let's not rack our brains because neither four of us are gonna get it. But
no.
The thing about those, at least like you feel like you're doing something because they got the stinger on them. So it's like it's a cookie, but I'm getting some energy.
Well, yeah, it says it's healthy, you know, right on the cover.
Yeah,
so you can eat as many as you want.
Yeah, yeah, that's how that works.
You know, it's been my favorite because like I like sweets, but I don't eat sweets. But my favorite is those beetroot. We get like these beetroot gummies, so you eat these like beetroot gummies.
You like those?
Yeah, I love them, dude. Well, because I love Jujube. So it's like I eat those and then it's like, well, I'm kind of getting candy, but I'm also getting myself better for the game. So I just kill two birds with one stone.
Oh, that's fair. No, one of our guilty pleasures we do is me and Eli will go right before or not before the game, but like after our lunch, we'll go to the Target right beside the mall and they've got these little sour strips and they're deadly. The little blue raspberry and like you know like there's not really Paulie, any sour candy.
I can see the steam coming out of Paulie's ears from here.
Hey, so it's just BYO candy. It's just bring your own.
Yeah. Don't let coach catch you with the candy. You gotta smuggle it in your locker.
Okay, we've had you for a while, but a couple more. What if you could pick three other people for your dream golf foursome, who are you picking?
Max Homa, got to have one pro in there.
Yep.
I'm going to do Shane Gillis.
Yeah.
And Steele Vaughn.
Wow.
That's a good foursome.
That's a good one. I don't know what it is about those two, but he's like, Theo might say the most outlandish stuff I've ever heard.
Some of the clips on Instagram, man.
It's too good.
Yeah,
his comments right up my alley, just saying just stuff that's not even true. That's right up my alley. Like, you know, those stories aren't true. I got this one guy from my town. It's like, you know, that's not true. You didn't have, like, you've got a guy from his town for everything someone says to him.
Oh, yeah.
So I want to repeat so many of them, but I can't.
You might get canceled if we repeat any of them.
Yeah, we don't need to do that. And it's amazing that he's done such a good job not getting canceled because, like, you just look at him and it's like, okay, like, that guy can't be serious.
Yeah, he just says it and then just, like, shrugs it off like it's nothing. It's like, what did what words just came out of your mouth there?
second last one. Where, if you could go anywhere in the world, little dream destination, and you get to pick one person that's going with you. Where are you going and who are you taking?
You know what? I'm going to have to go I've been thinking, like, I haven't traveled a lot, but the one place I've always wanted to go is Iceland. So I think that's definitely got to be the destination.
Iceland's green. You know that, eh? Yeah. Greenland's ice?
I know. It makes no sense.
No, there is ice there. I've been there. I went there for my honeymoon.
Oh. When did you go?
Somehow it always comes back.
You want to hear about the trip? Hold on. Just everyone hold on for another half hour. I'll tell you about the whole trip.
All right, folks. Clear your next hour. We're going to walk through every day of Paulie's honeymoon. So who would you take to Iceland with you?
I think I'd have to take you guys have no idea, but it's my buddy Ben. I think we've done a couple road trips. When COVID hit, he was staying with his grandparents out in Cranbrook, so he ended up rigging home with me when I drove back, and then the same thing last year when I moved down. We did a little road trip from Vancouver down to Denver, and he stayed there for a couple weeks. So we tend to have some good stories and some good memories on the road, and he's a nice little vacation buddy. So no one I'd much rather sleep in a nice little stinky van with for however many. Paulie, how long you stay in Iceland? What's the appropriate time?
You could, if you did a week, you could do the whole island, especially if you did the stinky van way. Honestly,
oh yeah, that's the only way to go.
Yeah, we didn't do that, and then we met. We had like an Airbnb, but we had a rental. No, but we had a rental. I mean, it's your honeymoon.
They go on.
The funny thing is, when we met another couple, like a couple weeks later,
telling the whole story.
But they did the stinky van, and then me and my wife were like, we didn't even think about it. We're like, oh, we should have done a camper van. It would have been so sick because you just can drive to like wherever you want to go and just set up shop. Like, we wasted so much time driving back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Fair.
But Iceland is unreal, dude. It's sick. Yeah. It's
just
so
a little
fun.
Ring. Yeah. You got a little bit peak everything. You get the volcanoes, you get the water, you get the, if you go at the right time, you get the light.
3 hours. You get four different seasons, crazy trains. It's mental. It's awesome.
Okay, last one. I guess you've kind of changed numbers quite a bit, but I'm assuming your number is your birth year.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the all-time worst numbers I've ever seen someone wear at High Point before you switched.
Oh, whoa. You know what? 38?
Craw buzzing around in an oversized Champion apparel number 38 jersey was a good watch.
I think I'm wearing a 38 t-shirt right now. So, the Champion gear, it never breaks.
That's fair, and it's
Champion
toughest.
Stuff is nice now. I don't know about back in the day, but PLL,
it made a comeback. Yeah, it's made a comeback.
PLL stuff is great. High Point made it popular again.
My freshman year, we had, I kid you not, every single guy had to wear them, and you had to wear them to lift. Cotton Champion shorts, Champion sweat shorts. They were all time bad to work out in. You're just swamp assing everywhere. But you guys got anything else?
What's that? I never got a pair of those.
Yeah, I might still have them. Billy, they come with the shit stains too. You can keep them.
You start sweating right away, so you're like, Coach, see, I'm working hard. You can't help but sweating hot. Yeah, I'm just here. We haven't even done the warm up yet. No, I'm just grinding.
You guys got anything else for Cobb before we let him go?
No, it's good. I'm going to see you in 24 hours.
Love that.
Yeah, you guys can do lots of catching up, but thanks for doing this, buddy. Appreciate it. It's a nice little fun deep dive into you.
Oh yeah, of course. Thanks for having me on. It's always a blast coming on. Now we got to go for the hat trick sometime in the near future.
Yep. We'll make that plan. We're gonna have to think of we'll get Paulie to pull out the scrapbook of his honeymoon, and we can jump on again for an hour and walk through.
Love it. Walk me through my next vacation.
There we go. Amazing.
Why not? Maybe I just come. Who knows? We'll see.
Yeah. Paulie's the plus one. Sure, God. Awesome, man. Okay, well, we appreciate it. Appreciate you taking the time. Good luck this weekend. Good luck the rest of the year. We'll chat with you soon for the third time, buddy.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on. Always end it with a little tusk up, though.
Oh.
You gotta get both, Paulie.
Yeah, baby. I know. Well, I got my mic. My hands are too big. I got oversized tusks.
Overgrown tusks. Overgrown. Yeah.
Awesome. Good stuff, man. Well, thanks again, Carl.
Bye, buddy.
All right, we're back. What an interview. I like that. That was fun. A little change up.
Hey, you love the layers, eh? You've said layers 27 times.
I love peeling back the layers. It's funny because I think that was like subconsciously in my head. It was in my head because we did the, you know, the onion drill at practice.
Oh, yeah.
We did the onion drill, and I was like, what the fuck is the onion? And everyone just kept saying, you just got to peel back the layers. So I think that's maybe why that was stuck in my head. But I'm trying to think what else. There's not a whole lot else new here. Watch an all-time movie the other night. Zero Dark Thirty. Hadn't seen that one in a while. Good flick. We once had Rob O'Neill talk to our team at High Point. There's a fun fact. The guy who killed Bin Laden. So, yeah, there's your history lesson for the day. Anything you guys got before we wrap it up for the week?
Reminder, everything's on YouTube going forward. Excuse me. And I think people will actually appreciate the Connor Robinson interview more on YouTube. He's a very funny facial expression guy, I think. So yeah. I think you should watch it. And on YouTube going forward. And, we're kind of leaking some info here, but we may have plans to have Coach Torby on the podcast and back to back after some of the stories we heard today. It's going to be interesting. So
I think it'll be fun to ask him about some of those. We're planning to have Torp come on, which is awesome. Cause it really does. There is a crossover there. Cause he's got a ring from winning with the Mammoth back in the day. I think he was on their practice roster or something. I'm sure he'll correct me on that, but,
quick too. You guys have all met my girlfriend, Ellie. So in high school, they thought it would be a good idea to do the exactly what you guys did, Dan, but in high school. So it was like basically the emotions you were feeling times like 100. And she always chirps me for the podcast being too long, so she's for sure not listening right now. Yeah. But she like cried in front of the team because it was just like too much.
Oh my God.
And I just thought, like, what's
she is going to be so mad at you for telling that story.
Yeah, she won't even notice. I think of that every time, all right, you come into a bunch of like 20 something guys. You're like, these guys are all pricks. Like, we're going to kind of break these guys. She was like a 14-year-old girl.
like they didn't need to do that.
I don't think she needed to hold the lumber, the huge piece of lumber above her head with her teammates. I think she was good. She was a good teammate already.
Right. Crying because her shoulders broke.
You're right. Like, all right, this is cool, but like, you know, these kids signed up for high school lacrosse, not the Navy SEALs.
let's cut the shit. We just had 60 guys and only 50 roster spots, so we wanted to find the quickest, the quickest way to get guys to quit. But
They were like, the girls were quitting. They're like, no, we need you. Like, come back. Okay, you're good.
We won't do that again. if you are working from home, listen to these podcasts or whatever, just throw it up on YouTube, get our ugly mugs up there, support the boys. We're trying to take a run at this thing, and Donnie's doing a great job and taking the time to upload it and do all the intricacies of being a tech guy. So why don't you guys
just Donnie. If anything, just do it for Donnie.
Do anything for Donnie. But I think that that pretty much wraps it up for episode 104. We appreciate you guys listening. Go buy our merch, Bar Down, and go check out some supplements from Lion Eyes because they're fucking back, baby. I got a text that some supplements are on their way, and I responded. I said I need the boys to get some too. So hopefully you guys are going to get some soon. Don, I need whatever address you're going to be living at. Or I can just get them sent here, and then, it'll force you to come hang out with me one weekend. We appreciate everybody that's helped out with this thing. And hopefully you liked this kind of different style of interview. But we'll chat with you guys soon.
Peace.